How did we land on 100K as the magical number that signifies success in business? Today on Unjaded, I'm going to push back on this a bit. And here's why. Over and over and over again, I listen to women in consulting sessions that are hellbent on hitting six figures. Everything that they do in their business is done to chase this goal, which is fine. But for the fact that they've yet to crack five figures. For some, they haven't even cracked five figures or 10K in a year. Yet, they have a goal of hitting six figures next month. It makes no sense. So they follow all of these gurus, many of said gurus who are not making six figures or more a year, but that's a story for another day. And they try to use the same tactics to grow their own businesses. There's two issues that I have with this. Often that guru is not using the very tactics that they're teaching. They sound good on paper, but if you watch their accounts, they're not even doing what they're teaching you to do. And number two, the things that you need to grow to six figures are very different from the things that you need to do to grow at six figures and beyond. And yes, I have cleared the six-figure mark and can speak to this. If you want to unpack this with me, stick around for the full episode.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
Okay, so the pursuit of a six-figure business. Please understand that I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a goal of reaching six figures in your business. What I'm saying is that you may need to have another goal and another strategy on the way to six figures. If you're staring down the barrel of a super small, unengaged audience, if you don't have an email list, you're not visible online, and you don't have a solid strategy in place for doing business, like a pathway for people to follow through with you, then six figures is going to be more than a stretch. It will be the thing that stops you in your tracks over and over and over again because it's just not doable from where you are with what you have in place. I said what I said. If, on the other hand, you take the time to build out your business brick by brick by brick so that the structure is there to hold a six-figure business, you can build it all day long. And here's another thing. If you don't have the structure in place, you'll continually stop yourself from hitting your goals. Why? Because your nervous system will subconsciously protect you from gaining something that you cannot possibly hold. Just ask me how I know that. Painful lesson to learn. So how do you get the backbone in place to build a six-figure business without breaking your life? I'm going to cover a few things in this episode that will help you to build that structure out in your business so that you're ready when it's time to step into that six-figure level. The first thing we're going to talk about is growing your audience. I would love to invite you to grow your audience like it's your day job. And this is something that I don't think we can ever stop doing because our people get fatigued sometimes from seeing our stuff. You know how it is. Like you work with someone for a while or you follow along with someone for a while and you love everything that they're teaching. And then, you know, as you get closer and closer to the level that they're teaching, you kind of tire of it. You get fatigued of that sort of style and then you move on to something else. That can't be just a manifesting generator thing, is it? But you move on to something else and your email list is going to be fatigued from time to time. You always need new blood coming into your business. So we are in the business of growing our audiences for the entirety of our business. That's just the way it is. We are always going to be growing an audience. And I want you to think about treating them really, really, really well. Communicate with them in your emails. Don't just show up when it's time to sell them something. Provide value every single step of the way. Love on them so that they think, my God, if this is what she does for free, what must it be like to work with her? Number two, give people the opportunity to purchase from you early on in the game. And this was one of the biggest lessons that I've had to learn in my business because I loved on people for months, even for years, without ever making them an offer. Somehow I believed that it was my job to provide all this free value and that when I had something for them to buy, they'd obviously buy it because I was their girl. I had been with them all along in the journey. But they didn't see me as someone to purchase from. They saw me as a free resource. And even my very, very low paid offers didn't go over super well because they had never bought anything from me before. They had been so used to me providing value, providing value, providing value, and never asking for a sale. This is something that I see, especially in the direct sales industry. And that was a lot of my background at the time was in direct sales, right? And that industry has a real message of, it doesn't matter if people are on your team or not. You just keep training for free, and you never ever sell them anything because you're being paid from the company. So that was how I fell into this particular trap, was having that background in the direct sales industry. But what you want to do is train your audience to buy from you early. So it doesn't matter if it's a $7 product or a $47 product, there needs to be an early transaction, because the more people buy from you, the more they will buy from you. How do you do this? You set up your nurture system to include a clear and simple call to action with a paid offer. So when you are welcoming people into your world, after they've downloaded your freebie, you're welcoming them into your world, give them the chance to buy something. And it may be something super, super simple and affordable, or it could be that you start promoting one of your offers. Like, I have a $111 offer that I promote in my nurture sequence. And a small percentage of people will go on to buy that. And the people that go on to buy that will also then buy the next level up. And then after they've done that, they will also buy the next level up. The more we buy, the more we will buy from someone. Number three, show up as the style of leader that you are. And we're going to bring your human design into this, okay? So within your human design blueprint lies all of who you are, your purpose, your gifts, your conditioning, where you play small, your core wound, and so much more. And you want to be using all of your design. But for today, we're just going to talk about your profile, because I feel like it's a place that often gets overlooked. And it is, in my opinion, one of the very biggest things that we all could be standing more in within our businesses. So your profile will be listed on your human design chart where it says your type and strategy. It will list your profile. It's two numbers. So mine is a 2-4. Your profile is the role that you play in the movie of your life, and it's a really big deal. You're probably not using it to your full advantage or to the benefit of the people you're here to work with. So what this looks like in your business, we'll unpack that a little bit, okay? There are 12 profiles, and they're made up of 6 different profile lines. I know this is a lot of human design speak. Just bear with me, because I will bring it back so that you can actually use the information. I'm going to briefly cover the 6 numbers. And when we combine these 6 numbers in different ways, we get one of the 12 profiles, which is 2 numbers mixed together. If you want to look into your own specific profile further after you finish this episode, you can head on over to my blog. There's a pretty in-depth blog post that I wrote, and it's linked in the show notes for you. So what I'm going to do here is go through those 6 lines and share how some of my students are learning to use their profile to build their business as we go through the Content by Design course. And I'm going to talk about how I use my own profile as well. So first line profiles. If you're a first line profile, you are a researcher. You go down every rabbit hole and you don't come out until you figure out what it all means. You investigate. It's called the investigator. And you do this so that you can share the information with your people. What your people need from you is for you to share what you know, what your research has shown. Stop trying to cover up the facts with fluffy stories and hide your knowledge from us. We need you to stand in your power as the researcher. We need you to be the person who knows the things, because you have researched the things. Second line profiles. This is my conscious profile, and I'm going to tell you what that means when I say conscious profile. Your conscious side of your chart is the right-hand side of your chart. And it's something that you may be more aware of. It may be more accessible to you, whereas the left-hand side of your chart is your unconscious, your subconscious. It lives in your body. You brought it here with you. And other people often see that more than you do. So my profile, my second line, is my conscious profile. Second lines are natural geniuses. They make things look easy. If you're a second line, different things will be alive for you at different times in your life. You bring people on the journey with you. There may be times when you need to hermit away to marinate in your genius for a little while, and that's okay. It's actually beneficial for you, because when you pull back and you're ready to share your gifts again, they will be called out of you. They will be recognized in you. And then that shows you what you're good at and what you're here to share. If you look at the trajectory of my journey as an entrepreneur, I've done this. I focused on what's alive for me at the time, gone really deep into the well of my genius, and people have followed along. I get called out when it's time for me to share what I'm here to share. It's really hard for second lines to see what they're good at, because we think that everyone has the gift that we have, and they don't. So if you're a second line, don't shy away from that gift and really start to notice what people are calling out of you, what people are telling you you're good at, because chances are that's your genius. Third line profiles. Third line profiles are my favorite, if I'm allowed to say I have a favorite. Third lines run fast and break things. A guest I had on the show explained it like this. She said that there are, picture you're walking along a dirt road and there's all of these holes. third line profiles go down the hole and they're like, ooh, that's yucky. Or down another hole. Oh, that's gross. Down another hole. Oh my gosh, it's chocolate. Look what's here. And then they come back and they tell everybody what they found. The biggest mistake that I see third lines making in their businesses is that they're not sharing their mistakes, their mishaps, their adventures. People need to hear about what you've learned the hard way. That's just how it is as a third line profile. But chances are, if you're a third line profile, you have some shame around the things that you got wrong. And I'm putting that wrong in air quotes, because there's no such thing as getting it wrong for you. You have to learn by experience, and your people will love you the most when you share that experience. Fourth line profiles. This is my unconscious side of my profile. So this is the part that's in my body. This is the part that I brought here with me. This is part of my karma that I'm here to work out. So fourth line profiles are all about community and networks. Your opportunities will come from within your networks most often. You give people a sense of belonging. You form foundations for people to stand on. One of the students in Content by Design is a fourth line profile. Actually, a few students are fourth line profiles. But this particular student, when we kicked off the course, we start with personal human design readings in this course. And hers didn't quite go as planned because we spent a lot of our time working towards getting her unstuck in her business. Why was she stuck? Partly because she's a generator, and stuck seems to be their love language. If you're a generator and you're feeling stuck, know that you're not alone, because every other generator on the planet seems to feel stuck many times in life. And two, because she's a fourth line profile and she was hiding from her community. She was afraid to get out in front and lead them, and that's who she's here to be for them. She is all about community. She can't succeed in her business if she's hiding from her community. So fifth lines. Fifth lines are the square pegs trying to fit into the round holes. I have a fifth line profile in my Content by Design course now, and it's so interesting to hear her speak about her experience in life and in business. Fifth lines are visionary leaders. They know they're here for something big, and they often feel like they don't quite fit in. Fifth lines tell it like it is, and when they do, they're standing in their strength, and people won't always like it. That has to be okay. Fifth lines deal with a lot of projection. They're projecting what they see onto others, and it can be uncomfortable. So share your discomfort. I had a fifth line on a webinar just a little while ago. She was a 3-5, so remember the 3 line is all about experiential learning and making the mistakes and sharing these lessons with the people. And she's a 3-5 profile, and she said she's so afraid to share her mistakes because she already feels like she doesn't fit in as a fifth line profile. And here's the thing for all of us to remember, no matter what your profile, I want you to remember this, okay? People love you in your dip. You are the most relatable in the dip of your story. Just think of how you feel when you read someone's profile who's always talking about how rosy everything is, how perfect everything is, versus someone who brings you along on their journey through a little bit of heartache, through a little bit of wounding. Remember, you're speaking from the scar and not the wound. So you're not like dragging out the worst of your life with them, but you're sharing your lessons, the things that you've learned the hard way. Notice when movies and novels do this, we fall in love with the underdog. We always do. They are the ones that we root for, and it's no different in your content or in your business. Remember that the purpose of you building this business is to help people along their journey. So think about how can you share your experience in a relatable way that helps someone else. Sixth line profiles. This is the last one we're going to do. Sixth line profiles are role models. Eventually, they go through 3 life phases. The first phase of life for a sixth line is where they run fast and break things. They make tons of mistakes. They learn through experience. The second phase is when they are integrating life's lessons. And I have someone in the Content by Design course that is in this sixth line middle phase. And she is integrating so many life lessons right now, and it's uncomfortable. I've yet to meet a sixth line profile who's between 30 and 50 who is comfortable in their life, because they see everything that they could help with. They see how we are like running around like chickens with our head cut off, and they want to dive in and help, but they're still integrating their own lessons, so they can't actually show up as role models yet. And then in the third phase of life, from age 50 onward, they step into the role model phase. And I have someone else who is just turning 50 in the Content by Design course. And she's in this place of like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. I forget that you can't see me talking with my hands. I have to step towards this thing. I have to lead. I have to guide people. But she's finding her footing as it relates to her messaging and her offers. So as I said, your profile will be a combination of 2 of those lines. That's what they're called in human design, is lines. Take a look at the blog post if you want to dive further into yours specifically, or just think about the 2 numbers that I've just talked about that make up your profile. And when you're ready to really step into your human design to build the business you're made for, it's really important that you stand in the gifts of your profile, because this is how people need you to show up. So number four, and we're back to the steps of building your six-figure business. Build a solid lead magnet that matches your offers. This will move your business forward as much or more than anything else that you do. So here's where we get it wrong, and I've done this too. We spend days, weeks, months coming up with the perfect lead magnet to build our email list. It's a glossary of things you need to do to improve your life, or a mini course on a topic that's super trendy relating to our industry, or a summit that positions everyone else as the expert and you as the facilitator. Worst of all, though, is that it doesn't match the next step that you want your people to take with you. It's just this random thing that you've created in your business that may be extremely valuable, but it doesn't help people to take the next step in your business. So it's not going to move you towards a five-figure or a six-figure or whatever figure business you're going for. It's this lovely piece of content that's waving around online all by its lonesome, not connected to anything else you do. James Wedmore of Business by Design teaches the very best way to do this. He offers a free mini course on his website, so look him up if you want to do this. And he walks you through, I think it's 11 modules or something, that tells you how to build your lead magnet from the offers that you have. It's absolutely beautiful. You want to be building your lead magnet from your course, your program, your main offer, so that it makes sense for your person to take the next step with you. That starts to build the six-figure pathway. Because remember in the beginning, I said that that's one of the things that we do, that we do not have a path in place for people to take. Sometimes I look at people's businesses when we do a strategy session, and they may have 8 or 10 offers, and none of them build on the offer before. And you really want it to be like, think about the yellow brick road. You want to lead people to where they need to go, and that will build your own six-figure pathway as you build something for them to follow. And then step number five, I think this is really important, that we appreciate every dollar along the way. So many times I hear from people who are trying to build a six-figure business. I've even sat with women who are at $80,000 and they are bemoaning the fact so much that they're only making $80,000. They're so focused on that $20,000 that they're lacking that they're not celebrating the $80,000 that they do have. And for you, that may be celebrating the $5,000 that you do have or the $15,000 that you do have. It doesn't matter what the number is. We need to appreciate every dollar and every sale along the way. You know, if you sell a $7 thing out of your nurture sequence, I want you to be jumping up and down saying, yay, I made $7 today. If you sell a $27 thing or a $97 thing, yay, I made $97 today. We spend a lot of time beating ourselves up for not making the money we feel is the magic number. And I feel there's so much comparisonitis online, especially on social media, where we build these gurus up to be something sometimes that they're not. There are a lot of people on social media who are not even making money in their businesses, and they're trying to tell you how to do it, but they're not doing the things that they're telling you to do. We kick ourselves around feeling like losers instead of celebrating the fact that we actually made money in the first place. And I would love to invite you to change that in your own business. And I want to give you just a little bit of perspective here as well. Would you be surprised to know that 2/3 of businesses don't make a profit in their business in a year? 2/3 of businesses do not make a profit. So if you're making money in your business, you are among 1/3 of businesses that are doing that. 1/3 of businesses break even, 1/3 of businesses make a profit, and 1/3 of businesses lose money every year. And actually, that just gives me an idea. I think in the next episode, I'm going to take you through an exercise that I love to do with my clients so that they can see the actual dollar figure that they need to make in their business so that they can be free of the conditioning to do what everyone else is telling them they should do. And you know how I feel about shooting all over yourself, right? Yeah, I think we're going to do that. I think we're going to walk through the exercise to see how much money you really need, because it never fails when I do this with a client that it's often less than six figures. And please understand that the goal is not to have you never focus on six figures. It's to have you stop thinking that it's the holy grail, because as soon as you get to six figures, you're going to want to get to seven figures. We forget to celebrate where we're at. So it's to get you thinking about, maybe if I'm making $15,000 in my business today and I made $30,000 by the end of the year, I could be happy with myself for that. Maybe if I'm making $40,000 in my business and I made $65,000 in my business, I could give myself a pat on the back. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about never going for six figures. I'm not talking about not working on your money mindset before I start to get the money mindset emails. I'm just talking about allowing yourself to trust the process, allowing yourself to set up the systems in your business that you need in place to hold that six-figure business. Because like I said in the beginning, if we don't have the systems in place to hold what we're building or to hold what we're calling in, our nervous systems will stop us from calling it in. Why? Because the job of the nervous system is to keep us safe. And it is not safe to call in six figures worth of business if you have nowhere to put people in your business. You would be going crazy. And that's something I think that's really good to ask ourselves every step along the way is, could I hold more of this? Let's say you have a one-on-one offer in your business that is $1,500 for 8 weeks of coaching. And you currently are working with four people. Ask yourself, could I comfortably double the clients that I'm seeing with this offer? And I think that that's an important thing for us to think about, because if the answer is no, and you've got a six-figure goal on your list with the $1,500 offer and four of them sold, there's something missing. And we can totally figure out what's missing. So hopefully that episode has given you some things to think about. I want you to remember that life is going to kick you around. Business world's going to kick you around. You're here to learn your lessons by being kicked around, and so am I. And our challenge is to stay unjaded in the face of it all. You've got this.